Like it or not, AI is transforming the way that churches do ministry, but it's not always for the better. In this conversation, we're going to unpack some of the most common use cases of AI that I'm seeing in churches, and then we're going to talk about if they're good, bad, or somewhere in between. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about AI and use cases and whether they're good for churches to be using or something we should probably steer clear of. We're going to do some rankings for you guys about ways that we see other churches using AI. I think it should be a pretty good conversation, Ian.
Yeah, we've been digging into more AI conversations and episodes, and it's something as a company, Thomas, that I know you've really helped us start really diving into. And we had other members of the team that have been using AI for a while now, but something that we're very excited and passionate about, and to help churches know how to use it. And also, like you said, things to steer clear from too. So yeah, should be good.
Yeah. So I am... pastoring. I'm an executive pastor at my church, so I lead all of our staff at my church. It's a relatively small church. We have about 8 or 9 staff members here, so medium size, I'd say, church. And then here at Reach Right, I lead our team here. And so I will say that I'm very focused on AI-related use cases and stuff in a lot of my areas personally, and I'm pushing harder at Reach Right than I am at my church, but yeah. I am pushing our church. We're having some really interesting conversations. I think our staff at my church is a little bit more hesitant to bite in fully to AI with good reason. I think if we're going to be responsible stewards of the gospel, we should be cautious about letting these kinds of things into the fold. We'd be bad pastors if we weren't kind of shepherding our flock in that way. But we wanted to take some time, I guess, in this episode to talk about for specific ways that I'm hearing churches using AI. Some of them I love, some of them I hate, and some of them are kind of in between, you have to be cautious about. So we wanted to break down a few of them and kind of give you our thoughts on whether they're good use cases or not for a church like yours. So
yeah,
should be a good conversation.
Let's dig into them then. And the first one is a goodie: sermon outlining and brainstorming.
Yeah. Okay. So I have famously on this podcast said on many occasions in very loud voice, do not use AI to write sermons. I've said that many times.
Right.
And I want to take a step back a little bit from that position. And I want you to hear me out. I still think that it is out of bounds to ever let AI write a sermon for you. So typing in a prompt that says, write a sermon about Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, that's going to give you a crappy sermon. Yeah. And it's also, I think, a sin. It's both of those things. It's not a sin it's a sin to preach it.
Lord, do inspire. Absolutely.
I've done it. I've typed those things in before and read the responses just to see what would happen. So that's not, but I think it'd be a sin for me to take that and then preach that to my church. Maybe sin's a strong word, but I would not do that. I encourage you not to do that. It's missing the mark for sure. So, but when it comes to sermon outlining and brainstorming and many other things with my sermon, I just did a video that's going to come out in a week or two here, or actually probably at the time this gets released, it'll already be out. And so I'll leave a link to it up here. It's a video about how to use AI to write sermons ethically. I did a whole breakdown of that. Here's the bottom line and kind of the meat of that video is that yes, brainstorming and outlining, I think, are fantastic use cases for using AI to help you with your sermon writing process. So the way my brainstorming might look like is one tool that I use when I'm doing AI prompts is I'll have it ask me questions one question at a time. So something I've been in the habit of doing is maybe I'll be processing a passage. I'm thinking about a passage I'm going to be preaching on, and I'm just doing the observation part. I'll give the passage to AI. I'll say, hey, I'm reading this passage in Matthew chapter 7, and can you ask me questions one at a time as I am observing the text to help me maybe pull out some insights. Don't give me any insights, but just ask me questions that help me get thinking about this text in a unique way. So it will help me kind of think about it. And I've had really spirit-filled times where I'm thinking about the text and having new ideas.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to substitute for the Holy Spirit, because I think he does that for us sometimes too.
Yeah.
But like, I think that having it prompt me a little bit has been a really good use case for brainstorming. It's also been really good for, I think less so for outlining, but I think what it has been able to do is, if I have like a stream of consciousness thing that I will talk about, it can help me maybe think through some of the outlines. Or one thing I use it for is to really nail the language part of things. I'm not great at getting like those Stephen Furtick one-liner type things where, you know, that everything kind of rhymes and has this great rhythm to it. That's just not the way that I preach. But AI can be helpful if I'm coming to it with a lot of the ideas and I've fleshed out the observations and I know what I want to talk about. It can maybe help me get the language exactly right to make sure that it's the right kind of content for my audience there. So that's a few use cases. Again, I'd recommend you take a look at that video that I mentioned before. It'll really be helpful to you, kind of some of the other ways that I'm using AI to ethically write sermons. But so for this one, we have, this would be in the good category. Did we go over the ranking system?
We said, I'll go over that. We said good is a ministry multiplier. We didn't, I don't think so. It's good to do this here now on the first one. Faith flag would be use it with caution. And then the do nots would be called an artificial overreach.
Yes.
So you're calling this first one here a ministry multiplier, correct, Thomas?
I believe that this is a good tool to multiply your ministry, write better sermons, be more effective. So for me, using it as a tool, I want to be very clear on that.
A tool.
It is not your AI cannot be your leader.
To help, right? Yes.
It's your partner. You lead. It partners with you. It's your research assistant.
The Holy Spirit leads, then you, then AI.
Absolutely.
So he's third place.
But AI. You lead AI. Like
That's good.
That's the way that works.
Good. All right. Next one is prayer request responses.
I don't like this. This sounds weird to me. Like I haven't. Okay, so I'm processing this live.
You're going through a tough time. I'm sorry to hear that. We will pray.
You know, there's no question in my mind that AI could probably write a better response to a prayer request than I could.
Yeah.
Like, just like if I was just kind of responding to someone who like sent in a prayer request, it could do a great job of it. Like, it's actual quality of its response.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think it's right, though. I feel like if I'm just, AI can't pray. Like, that's the thing that it can't do. And so usually
be empathetic and sympathetic and
Right. It can't do any of those things, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that I feel like it cannot be something you delegate out to an AI system to do that. Now, I guess you could say, like, here's some things. Like when we talk about AI, there's so many ways that AI is involved in our day-to-day life. So, like, if I'm writing an email response to someone who sent in a prayer, and I have Grammarly installed on my computer, that uses AI to correct my spelling.
Yeah.
You know, that, so yeah, that kind of stuff is fine. I would even say that, like, if I, like, well, one thing I probably do, like I do actually do, I have done this actually this week, is I will respond to emails, and then prayer requests would be part of that, using a tool called Whisperflow, where I'll tap two buttons on my keyboard and I'll speak into my microphone, and then AI will take what I say and it'll take it and it won't say exactly what I say, because it'll remove where I repeat myself sometimes, or if I have vocal fill or ums, which I always use and have tons of, it will get rid of all that stuff for me. So that is using AI to respond to prayer requests in a way. But yeah, as far as like, I take a prayer request, I copy, I paste it into ChatGPT, I hit respond to this for me, and then paste that back in and send it. No, that's wrong. Yeah. Don't do that. That is a artificial overreach.
Yeah. I just like the name of that. Artificial overreach. Yeah, something like that. So that's the way it would sound AI robotic-like. So, but all right, good stuff, Thomas. Yeah, and let me just say one more thing to that. As someone who the first ministry after I was saved that I got involved with was a prayer ministry at our church. So, and I'm actually... It was kind of uncommon. Me and a bunch of old intercessor ladies, sweet old ladies, And awesome. Here was a guy young in his 20s. But I will tell you, not only did that, was that a tremendous time where I experienced the Holy Spirit and just there was so much I could say about that. But it's just such an authentic thing. You're right. And yeah. just to be able to really pray for someone, empathize with them, encourage them, comfort them. People just know when that's really coming from a person, right? So, yeah, mm-hmm. so that's good. Good stuff. So next one would be, okay, small group questions.
Yeah, okay. So this one I like generally. I'm trying to think if there's some flags here, though, to, like, to watch out for. So when we say small group questions, this is using AI to generate questions for your small groups discussions yeah. At your church. So there's lots of ways to do this. I personally have done this before where at our church, we will take the transcript of our service, of our sermon, we'll plug it into ChatGPT and say a much more detailed prompt than this, but basically write 4 small group discussion questions and an icebreaker yeah. that will be super engaging and make for lively cool. life groups this week. And it generally does a good job, but it does take some editing and handholding. I imagine sure. I could probably work on the prompts a little bit more to make sure that it doesn't get out of bounds and
sure.
get into things I don't want it talking about. So
unholy icebreakers.
Yeah. I don't want, yeah. like play, spin the bottle yeah. for your icebreaker yeah, or something like right. that at your life group or no, we don't want that.
Do shots.
yeah, no. So, yeah, so I think like as a concept, I'm okay with this. Like using it as a, it's kind of a brainstorming tool. You provided the whole message. It yeah. does need oversight. So I would never just blindly yeah. copy and paste the questions into our life group manual and say, go ahead and go for it. Like I would have to read every single question and make sure that this is in alignment with what we're saying. I yeah. usually wind up tweaking the verbiage a little bit and making yeah. sure that it references back to certain things. But it does do like, it does basically one-shot it. So I put it in yeah. one time and it gives me something.
Gets you organized and gets a good format. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah it's good. And it does write better questions than I can think of by myself. Like, to be yeah, honest, it's just good at that. So, yeah. So I think that this, like, there are things to watch out for, but I'm not like ready to say that this is like a flag or anything. Like it's,
okay.
you know, you got to be really.
I thought you were leaning towards a faith flag.
Yeah, I guess so. Use it. I'd say absolutely do it. But don't yeah. do it without any guardrails. Like you put on a seatbelt when you do it, I guess is what I'm saying, okay. and do it with your seatbelt securely fastened.
So seatbelt, but not raising a flag yet. Okay, there yeah. you go. So, but good. Well, this next one's interesting. Worship songs.
Like what? What do you mean like worship
well,
songs?
Well, so to create worship in a sense. So yeah, that would be one way to use it. So
okay. All right. So there was a big thing that went around a few weeks ago on Spotify of this band that was getting millions of plays that was just a straight up AI band. They had like AI wow. images for who they like for their band art. And it was just AI music. The song was actually like their one hit was kind of good. Their hit. I don't know who they is. So its yeah. one hit was good. So
AI wants to compete with real music artists.
Yeah. I think what happened was kidding. That like Spotify, they found, I think it's actually made by Spotify themselves or maybe someone adjacent to Spotify. They found that like they have these long playlists of like rock music or something like that.
Yeah.
And that like they found that they could stuff in like and not have to pay real artists. They could stuff in occasional AI songs. And this one just happened to do pretty decently and started to kind of get a little bit of traction and started to, it was like on the charts. Like that just kind of this AI song that was made there. So yeah. now for worship, clearly AI yeah. cannot worship the Lord. Like it's not able to do that. It has no soul. Yeah. It does not have consciousness, any
it's
of those
not led
things.
By
so,
the Holy Spirit. Yes.
But then I start to think about like some of these questions of like what do we do with worship songs that are written by very imperfect people? Right? Like, so there's, you know, hymns that were written by slave owners that are famously, yeah. and then there's like many worship leaders who have had falls from grace and are no longer following Jesus at all, or, you know, have had major sin issues that are unrepented for, and they just kind of continue to live in them. And like, is it okay to sing their song still in worship? Is it okay to read books by, like, is it okay? Like Joshua Harris is a famous deconstructionist, right? He wrote I Kiss Dating Goodbye. Like, you know, say what you will about that book. I read it when I was a kid. It was valuable to me then. Like, is it now off limits because it's written by someone who's no longer following Jesus, right? Wow. So like, yeah, there's all these questions on that. Like, so I guess my question is, I don't think it's a sin necessarily to test this and say, I wonder what AI would come up with if I made it write a worship song.
Sure.
Like, and I've done this. I've tried this on some software and seen, and it comes up with junk that isn't interesting at all. Maybe I just didn't prompt it well. But like, is it possible to worship to that? Like, could you take the words that AI wrote and worship through it?
I mean, if it's providing scripture references and those things,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I suppose you could. There's nothing like that would stop you from doing something like that.
Yeah.
Do I recommend that, like,
AI? Yeah.
No, certainly not. Do I recommend that churches like do this and then start singing it on Sunday? No, certainly not. Like, that seems like that's a terrible idea to do that. I'm just like having a hard time like putting my finger on exactly where that line is with that. I would say, I'm not willing to say this is a flag, a faith flag. I think this is definitely a artificial overreach. Don't do it.
Okay.
I think it's a flag to do it for personal consumption, maybe. Like, if you write it to test it out and then you just like really like it and you worship the Lord to it, God can use it. Absolutely, He can.
Sure.
So that'd be in the faith flag category. But if the question is, should my worship leaders at my church use AI to write worship songs and like, you know, put it off as their own work? Certainly not.
Artificial,
there's other questions too. Like, just so we know, like, every single music production company now is using AI tools to make songs sound better. That's how auto-tune and a lot of these things work nowadays. It's AI doing all of it for them. So we are already using AI in our worship, certainly. But it is this to me falls into the artificial overreach if we're talking about it in the context of presenting it as authentically human written worship songs. No, that's terrible.
All right. So we have two artificial overreaches and two ministry multipliers. No faith flags yet.
Okay.
All right. So this next one is event graphics.
Event graphics. Okay. I am, as a concept, totally fine with this.
Yeah.
And because we need some faith flags, I'm going to make this one into a faith flag, I think, though. So Here's the line for me is that we need to be off, like, presenting things and make sure we let people know when they're AI produced. Now, if we're just talking about like an illustration, like, we had a meet and greet that we had a few months ago at my church, a men's meet and greet. So we cooked a lot of meat and had a big event, and we made an AI graphic for it. I think it was like a steak that was standing at a grill cooking with arms and legs. And so, you know, it was just funny. It was something that, you know, we couldn't really do. We didn't like say in the bottom, this graphic was created by AI, you know, that kind of thing. So I feel totally fine about that. No issues whatsoever with those kind of things. It had the details of the event and stuff on there. I think the line for me is that when we are using actual photos of things that are presented to look like real people. So if you make an event graphic for that same meet and greet and there's AI, like, people that don't actually exist, like guys that are, you know, sitting down, sharing steaks together and seem like they're having a good time and they're not real people, I think that crosses a line for me and we probably shouldn't go there. And then where it really crosses the line is if you do things like take pictures of real people and then make them do things that they didn't actually do. So if we did that same meet and greet event and instead we had like AI bodies and just put pictures of people that weren't actually at that event from our church, like their faces or their likeness on there, that is definitely over the line on that. So that part would be like artificial overreach. But I think as a general rule, we'll just, to kind of even out the score, we'll call it a faith flag because there's lots of different levels of this. Some I'm okay with, some are on the line, and some are just a definite no-no.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So not much to add there. So writing devotionals is this next one, Thomas.
Okay. To me, this one is like a general no, but it depends on your starting point. So I'm opposed to take this verse and write a devotional about how it impacts our faith, a prompt like that.
Yeah.
You know, or even if you give it an avatar and say, you know, in the style of John Piper or some pastor that's a favorite of yours, if you did something like that, I think to me that is that's outside of the bounds. Okay. Now, if I were to take a sermon that I preach this Sunday, let's say I take a transcript of my sermon and I feed my entire transcript into it, kind of like we maybe talked about with small group discussion questions, and I said, I'm thinking about writing a devotional. Can you help me come up with maybe an outline for a devotional that would be based on, you know, this 4,000 word sermon that I preached this weekend, and it took all of your information from there and got you started in that? I think I'm more okay with that, with lots of guardrails. You have to do lots of checking and never do it without presenting like what actually happened there. So I think that's kind of like in the realm of something I'd be okay with. Okay. But just as a general, like one shot, just write a devotional about this for me. No, like don't do that. Don't pass it off. If you were to do that, like you would have to heavily disclose and say, this is written by AI, you know, based on this. Or even if I did it from my sermon, I'd say I would probably think it'd be good to make some kind of a small footnote that says, you know, this is based on a sermon that we preached on Matthew chapter 7, and AI was used to help in creating this, just to kind of disclose that. So for that reason, we'll even the score at 2 apiece and call this one another faith flag. So
we're even there. So and that totally makes sense. It was almost very similar to what we were sharing with it, you know, in writing a sermon, totally, right? So kind of in the same vein there. So all right, next one is pastoral chatbots. So churches are using AI to counsel people on certain things.
Okay. I don't want to just throw this out and just dismiss it. Like, oh my gosh, that seems so wrong.
And first, you're right. At first glance, it seems like an artificial overreach. So, but
it does. But I think you could make a scenario where, like, you could make a chatbot that, like, would, you know, if I fed AI lots and lots of content that I created. Let's say I was a pastor. I mean, we make a lot of YouTube content, and we've done like 270 episodes of this podcast. And we've done all this, you know, we've done lots of other videos. We've written hundreds of blog posts. If I took all of that information, put it into a giant, like, I don't know, like 1,000-page PDF and trained a chatbot on exactly what Thomas says about all things church marketing, I could trust that it could give some pretty good answers about what I believe about church marketing. So certainly, I think it's out of bounds, like, to if it's like a, if someone comes to it and says, you know, what do I do? Definitely that. You know, we're having a lot of marital problems. Can you counsel me? And, you know, what, and that kind of stuff. I think that needs human personal pastoral thing. Touch.
It's like the prayer request example we used. Yeah.
But I think if it comes to just like getting answers to like spiritual questions and those kinds of things, with the caveat that it could be very wrong, but just as kind of like a quick, like, you know, a probably right idea of what Pastor Thomas might say about a certain topic, I could see it being something that's possible. So I lean towards, I guess I'll call it a faith flag again, although I think this has a temptation to be an artificial overreach. It's never a ministry multiplier, I don't think. But I think this one falls in between those two. I'll call it a faith flag just for sake of argument and kind of a comeback story, I guess you will, for the faith flags.
Good. Faith flag takes the lead there. So, again, just like I said on prayer requests, you know, having that personal touch, especially for a serious thing. But if it is someone just, I'm stressed out. Is there some biblical, some scriptures I can pray through or something like that? Yeah. You know, it's a different story. So, but all right, next one I think will be pretty easy. And I think I know what you're going to say to this one, turning sermons into reels.
Yeah. It's a great use case. I think this is really good. You know, you could make an argument that it's, you know, it's that our video editors are spirit-led and it's such an important practice. And I believe that. Like, you could be a spirit-led video editor and like totally make it part of your spiritual act of worship every time you edit those sermons into shorter clips. Yeah. I'm not coming against that at all. And I still think, like, we offer a service that does this. We have Bible believing video editors that love Jesus, love sermons, and make great videos out of them. I just think it's a good use case that isn't as good as a great human editor, right? At least today it isn't. But you can use a tool like Opus Clip or Sermon Shots or Church.Tech. There's several of them out there that do a pretty decent job of turning these things into short form vertical videos. And I think that's a good use case. It could be used wrongly, I'm sure, but I think I'm comfortable calling it a ministry multiplier.
Okay. Multiplier and faith flags are tied. This last one is going to see who wins or if it becomes a three-way tie. That's just writing emails. What about just writing emails?
All right. So I'm against it one-shotting writing emails. So I give it a prompt and then I send that email exactly. Like, so if my, you know, write my weekly email to my church, make it about faith. You know, that's a bad prompt. And really, I'm finding this, it comes down to the way we're prompting in a lot of cases. So the way, so I use it all the time to write emails, pastoral emails, church emails, reach write emails, everything. I use it all the time. I usually will use Whisperflow is the tool that I use to talk to my computer. And I'll usually have, like if I'm writing an all church email, I will just talk and I'll probably say a 200 to 300 word prompt. It'll be, I want to write an email to my whole church. Well, some of the things we're dealing with right now are about this. I want to make sure we cover these 3 points. If you have any other ideas of things I should cover, you know, mention them to me here. I want the tone to be this and that. And I also, I'm thinking a lot about this verse right now. So if I'm giving it a really detailed prompt and almost treating it like, like the same way you would an administrative assistant. If I would talk to my administrative assistant and say, could you draft me an email real quick to go out to the church to address this one issue that we're dealing with or to remind them about an upcoming event that's happening here or something like that, I'd be fine passing that off to a person. I think I'm okay as long as I give plenty of instruction. But if it's like a one-shot, again, spiritual email, I'm generally against those kinds of things. So for that reason, I'm going to put this with the guardrails. I'm going to put it into another faith flag.
Because we have
pretty heavy guardrails on where it's okay. Yeah. But I will say that I am a very heavy user and it does multiply my ministry, I will say. but you have to watch some flags on that and make sure you're not using it wrong.
I think it's cool that we're kind of ending with faith flag for the win because it just means that all of this is kind of using, not all of these, but a lot of this is obviously using with caution and as a tool and not as a total end-all, be-all source. So, yeah, I think that's a good takeaway. So,
yeah, good stuff. So I'd love to hear it if you disagree with us on any of this. We're kind of in the infancy of AI, right? We believe, I've said this before on podcast episodes and videos we've done, I think this is going to be, if not the most important human invention of all time, it'll be right up there with things like fire and the wheel and the printing press as the most important things we've ever experienced. So we are in the very baby phases of this right now. It's going to change everything about our world. So chances are we're going to get some stuff wrong. I've already gotten things wrong. Like when I emphatically said things like, don't use it to write sermons. And now I'm backpedaling a little bit on that. So if you think I'm wrong now, let me know down in the comments. If you have other use cases that you're on the fence about or you want to talk about more, drop us a comment about that. Thanks, guys, for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.